Welcome to episode 241. Coming up, we'll talk to Maddie from Maddie and Tay. She talks about if she's ever done an interview without Tay. They're not together, and I don't want to cross a bunch of phone lines. So we got Maddie coming up. She's just a great interview. As a lover, as a person, she just is a delight. Actually, since we finished the interview, because you're here in a minute, I texted her management, and I was like, A+. Like, as far as interviews and people go, A+. She does the thing that startles me a little bit and is so good for an interview is that she asks questions back.
Mm-hmm.
My job as an interviewer is to make it sound like we're just talking. There's actually a lot more work going into it than you would think, done by Mike and myself. There's preparation and there's listening and there's, you know, having the confidence to know that it doesn't matter where they go, you're fine with another question. I don't even look at questions for the most part. I'm listening and going, but there's all this. But then when she goes, oh, let me ask you this, you're like, you're kind of thrown off because it makes it so good.
Yeah.
She's so present to go, you know, I'm also curious about you. Now, I think she probably genuinely is, but even if she wasn't, such a great tactic to use while being interviewed. I do it a lot of my interviews because I'm the best interviewee because I interview all the time and I know what people want when they're interviewed. So I'm great at being interviewed because I just interview people all the time. So you get me on, you're going to have to ask me like one question. I'm going to give you a big old long, excited or emotional with questions at the end. So she's great. I can't say enough about it. So Maddie from Maddie and Tay, they got a new record that's coming up in a second. Also Jen Wayne, who has coronavirus. Jen is from Runaway June. Freaking guy has corona. Just saw it on. I know Jen pretty well, and I didn't know until she posted it. I think you just said, you're like, Jen Wayne has corona?
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh. So we'll talk to her coming up in a second. So I like today's show. I was kind of looking at some headlines here because, you know, concerts, who knows? There'll probably be some, but who knows this year? But even Facebook is canceling any company event with over 50 people until June 2021.
Wow.
It's just so many people are going to do it early that it's going to make those who don't look like they don't care as much about people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it.
Netflix stock hits record high, is now worth more than Disney.
Wow.
That's nutty.
That is crazy.
Mm-hmm. So just a couple stories here. Going to get Eddie on. I guess we just finished talking with Eddie, but now we're going to play that part right here. Thanks for hanging out with us. Tag us on Instagram story or Twitter or Facebook. Just say that you love the podcast. We would really appreciate that. And give us good ratings and write nice things about us and that if you don't mind. If you do mind, then don't worry about it.
Yeah,
but if you don't mind, that'd be great. And check out Movie Mike's podcast. Movie Mike's movie podcast. If you love movies, this is the podcast for you. What's on this week?
I'm talking about actors who hated each other while they were filming movies.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. All the feuds that went down.
Oh, that was a good one. All right, check it out. Movie Mike's movie podcast. All right, over to Eddie. Eddie's on. Hey, by the way, you just were looking at my Instagram story a few minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
Why did you stop after the picture of the guy and the girl?
I didn't.
Yeah, because you didn't keep going. Do you know on Instagram? No. What was the last one you saw?
Foot massage, maybe?
No, that was my girlfriend stretching me before the Peloton, and that wasn't the last one.
Yeah, that's what I saw, the stretch.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always annoying when someone goes through only some of your Instagram stories and they got bored with some of them. What I do just to be a good person is if I'm bored, I just go ahead and knock them all out so they don't see I didn't look at all of them. You know what I mean?
Even though you're not looking at them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even though I'm not looking, I want them to feel like I was consuming everything they put out there. So.
Well, that did not happen with me. I watched all yours and then I went on to the next person.
I don't know. Did you watch this episode of Easy Trivia?
I did. Well, I watched the start of it. I didn't finish it. I saw DeMarcus Ware is on it, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's a good episode. DeMarcus is on it, and I make him do something with his muscles because I'm not going to run it, but Sharna is on it. The center for the Titans, Ben Jones, is on it, and
John
Party's on it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be on it in the next couple weeks.
Yes, man. I'm waiting for my invitation. I'm ready.
All right. New music out this week. Brett Eldridge dropped his first new song in 2 years. Here is Gabrielle. I wonder what that song Because the girl that he wrote this song about is not named Gabrielle. Now, Brett and I are friends, and I know the girl that he wrote about is not named Gabrielle. I wonder if he had the rhyme, I wish you well, and then it's like, what's a girl's name we can just put in here that rhymes with wish you well? Because it's kind of a weird name to pick if it's not the girl's name, right?
Uh-huh. It is unique.
Because if you're sitting around writing a song about a girl and you're like, well, I can't use a real name, what name will we use? It's like, not Bertha or Gabrielle or... you would pick like a normal name, right?
So you think Wish You Well came first and they're like, we need a name to rhyme that.
I don't know for sure, but it's just... it's a tough name to kind of pull out of the air, Gabrielle.
Yeah.
That's my... I do like the song, and Brett's going a whole different way with his music a little bit. You can't fully tell yet with just that song, but he's did a whole shakeup, you know, with management, with... So, you know, he's kind of doing a little bit mature, you know, Brett Eldridge as an adult type thing that I think people are going to like. So, his first new song out in 2 years. Morgan Wallen shared he's dropping a new album this year, and today he shared the single More Than My Hometown, and here is a clip of that. What do you think about Morgan Wallen?
I love it. I love Morgan Wallen, and I hope that he continues to put out hits for a long time, because there's something about his music that's just so simple. It's like, it's that truly, like, and it could be his look and everything, you know, cut off sleeves, mullet, and all that. It almost has just a feel of just like a real redneck country dude literally just writing a song by himself. I don't know if that's the case, but that's what it feels like every single time.
He has a unique texture in his voice when he sings in the room with you too. You know, he's performed on our show, and he sings, and he sounds as good in person as he does live. And you don't hear him and go, wow, that's a big vocal guy. But he sounds as good in person as he does on a record, and there's just something about his vocal tone that is different when he sings. And I wasn't a big Morgan Wallen fan with his first couple of songs because they sounded like all that bro country stuff that was coming out for a long time.
Yeah.
But I tell you, I kind of love him now, and that the one that really pushed it over for me was – Chasing You.
Yeah, that's a jam.
It's such a jam that it just converted me to listen to some of his other songs that weren't radio songs. And I was like, oh, I do really like this guy. They just picked those songs because they were super radio friendly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that guy a lot. Luke Combs shared a brand new song he wrote this week about the current times we're going through. And he just put it up on YouTube. Here is 6 Feet Apart.
Miss my mom, miss my dad, miss the road, I miss my band, giving hugs and shaking hands. It's a mystery, I suppose, just how long this thing goes. There'll be crowds and there'll be shows, and there will be light after dark. Someday when we aren't 6 feet apart.
Crazy that he can write a song that isn't a total cornball song about coronavirus.
Yeah, it is. It's surprising because you got to imagine everyone trying to do it and being like in the middle of it going, no way, man. Way too dumb.
Yeah, because even when I saw the title 6 Feet Apart, I was like, oh, man, like I trust Luke to write good stuff, Luke Combs, because he just does. And I was like, there's no way. And then he does. And you're like, holy crap, how does he keep doing that?
Do you think, Bones, do you think that there's going to be like some kind of explosion of like a bunch of corona themed songs, like quarantine songs?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Zero. I mean, there may be songs about isolation. There may be some, but I don't know that there's going to be a whole playlist that's going to be made of all the quarantine jams from 2020.
Because I was talking to someone about it, just, you know, like one of the neighbors that was walking by works for a record label, and he's saying that a lot of artists are just trying to see if they can record full albums in their houses with their home studios, because a lot of artists have home studios. It's like, it's going to sound so different if they do. Like, if we do this for, you know, for a while, these albums are going to be made in people's houses, and maybe it will be that coronavirus sound, you know, like that lo-fi.
Oh, a sound. I thought you were talking about, are all the songs going to be about coronavirus?
Well, both. I meant both.
Okay. I definitely think there could be some EPs come out of this that have a slightly different texture. But I, especially if it's a long lockdown, but I don't think it's going to be another 6 months, you know, to where people can't get to a studio. I do think it'll be a long time before they can have concerts, but I think there's something to that where you may have people putting out, you know, the quarantine session or something like
right.
that.
Yeah.
That's a few tracks made from their house. I do think you're onto something there. I don't think you're going to have a bunch of quarantine songs or the COVID blues or
the sanitizer rises.
Yeah. And you'll hear this later in the show if you're listening right now, but I was talking to Maddie and I mentioned about Taylor Swift saying she's doing no concerts in 2020. Just based on what you know right now, when do you think there'll be concerts again?
Ooh, not till next year. I mean, or late this year. I mean, maybe like November, December, but then I would think just next year to be safe.
I mean, do you feel like this is what I feel like. With Taylor doing it and saying that, it's kind of setting the precedent of if the big ones don't do it, nobody else should too?
Yeah.
Because it'd be tough to get someone like a Luke Combs or someone like a Luke Bryan or an Al Dean to take 20,000, 30,000 people, 10,000, whatever the number is, Lady Antebellum, and make them all get in a room together.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. I could see if you were going to do a small show for like 20 people. I don't know. I just think it's tough right now. You don't want to be the first one to do it.
Well, what about you as if you're just going to a concert, when would be the first time you would want to go to a concert?
I'm not going.
To be safe.
Yeah, yeah. Once the vaccine comes out.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I'm a little more germaphobia than most people. And I'm also around a lot more music, so it's not like a concert is as big a deal to me. So I think I'm a little different than most folks, but I'm not going. Mike, would you go to one of your punk shows where they mosh?
No, I don't feel safe for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be a while.
I'm going to need the vaccine probably for me to roll into somewhere and do my thing. Because when I go to shows, I spit on everyone. Yeah. It's kind of my thing.
Those shows are so sweaty. It's
Like
the thought of it right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kip Moore released a new song called Southpaw. Here's this song. Eddie, what's you and Kip's relationship? I mean, I have a relationship with Kip, too, but I wonder, what is your relationship with Kip about?
Ours is just mainly, you know, we're both San Antonio Spurs fans, so when basketball was going, we would, you know, we would text each other about basketball and just kind of keep up with different things, like if the team got a trade or they traded two players or whatever, or they suck. Like, right lately, it's been like, God, man, like, how you doing without sports kind of thing? But it's just keeping up. He's really good at just keeping in touch. And just seeing how we're doing. See, how's the family? How's Bobby? How's the show doing and all that?
Yeah, he
but
is,
other than that,
actually.
It's just text.
He's really good about keeping in touch. Kip and my relationship, again, I would say we're closer than I am with a lot of artists, but only because we really did not like each other and really got into a big fight early on. Not physical, but we were just over it with each other. But what happened was us pushing so far away made us go, well, we should see if we really hate each other or if there was just a fundamental misunderstanding. And we got together, and there was. And now, I mean, we've spent a good amount of time together. And, he's a different kind of guy where he likes to rock climb and live in nature, and I like Wi-Fi and, you know, NBA 2K20. But I do, like, really enjoy that guy and appreciate how he looks at art. I don't look at it the same way, but I think us really getting into it early in a negative way has made the positive so much more because we'd have never even tried. It had just been two passing creators using each other for, you know, him for interviews but Kip's a good dude.
Yeah, and to him, his art's very important.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think there's a song that he puts out where he doesn't feel like it means everything to him. So if you ever write a parody like what we did to one of his songs, it may not be received well.
Yeah, you know, and we wrote a parody, then we tried to get him to play it, and then I just roasted him for weeks on the air about it. It wasn't me just one time being a douche. It was multiple times. And Kip calls me one day and goes, hey, like, we should talk. and see what's up. And we met for breakfast one day, and ever since then, it's like, oh, I get it. I get it. We don't have to agree on stuff to actually respect and like each other. But yes, Kip's a very passionate guy for sure. Mm-hmm. Love him, though. Lady Antebellum released a song from Songland called Champagne Night. Raisin plastic. Oh, God, I want to hear the end of the chorus. I've never watched a full episode of this show. Have you, Eddie?
I have. I like it. I like it. I've written songs, you know, so I'm kind of like a songwriter, so I understand that it doesn't happen as fast as it does on the show, but because the show really makes it seem like they spit out the idea fast, and it's done in 10 minutes, and then they record it, and that process obviously takes longer than that, but it's interesting, man. It's an interesting show to just kind of see someone with an idea and then three really strong songwriters try to make something of it.
My question is, with Lady Antebellum releasing the song, did they write it, or are they just the people that they go, hey, we wrote it, it won, you sing it?
I don't know this case exactly, but usually what happens is there's a songwriter who has a song already, and here's the idea, and he presents it to the three people on the show. And then they get teamed up with one of those writers, and then that writer perfects the song, and if it gets chosen, then the artist will record it.
Does the artist ever get it on the? Hey, Mike, you ever watched the show?
No, I've never seen it.
Okay, all right. See if they wrote that. Will you? Champagne Night, because I don't think Old Dominion wrote the song. They did, and they always write their songs. But I think for that show, they'll allow that to happen if you're an artist. Mike's going to look that up, right?
No, they didn't.
They did. Okay.
It was somebody from the show and then produced by Shane McAnally.
Cool. Brad Paisley has a song called No I in Beer. Kenny Chesney has a new song called Guys Named Captain.
Guys named Captain aren't haters. They're lovers, living life large, are largely undercover. Dive bars and cocktails, waitresses and tall tales, chasing the sun, run aground a full sail like Captain Outrageous and Captain Tony.
What do we think that song's about?
Does he say Captain Crunch? I'm waiting for it.
What other captains in there could he have name checked?
Captain Obvious.
Captain Cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the tone of that song. I guess I need to hear it more. Finally, this is pretty cool. Cadillac 3 released the Post Malone song Circles. They did a cover of it. Here you go. We do this every time. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, I heard it. I was wondering, as soon as I heard it too, I wonder what Mike thought about it, because he's such a Post Malone fan.
I love it. Jaren's voice sounds awesome.
It sounds good on it, huh?
It has that gravelly kind of voice like Post Malone.
And they recorded that in quarantine, because I had Jaren on the last episode, and he was like, we record something real cool, you're going to like it. And so,
cool.
Yeah, that was it. You can check out that episode if you're listening now. More new music. No clips on these, Mike?
I got them.
Okay. Quickly, Jana Kramer, Untouchable. Sarah Evans, Hard to Say I'm Sorry. Hold me now. It's hard for me to say I'm sorry. Oh, it's a cover.
Yeah, what cover?
I just want you to know.
Is that Chicago?
Is that Chicago?
Eesh, I don't know. I just guessed on that.
After all that I've been through. How
it is Chicago.
It is Chicago. Nice, nice job, Eddie.
Nice.
I promise you. That's a good one, though. Mark Chestnut, I Found Another You. I finally found somebody who walks her arms around my neck. You know what's funny about Mark Chestnut is, in our mind, these artists don't get older. We just know them as they looked when we were kids. And if you don't go look them up, you don't know they've gotten older. And Mark Chestnut was playing our show. Remember this, Eddie?
Nah, this is so embarrassing.
And Eddie and I were big Mark Chestnut fans back in the day. I can't say that I know much of his new music in the past 10 years or so, but we were big, big nut fans in the 90s. And he was coming in, and we were pumped. And his sound guy comes in to start setting stuff up. And he's like, hey, where do I play? And I thought it was a sound guy, guitar guy. We're like, hey, you'll be right there. And he was like, all right, what time do we go on? And I was like, yeah, but like 3 minutes. And we kept waiting for Mark Chestnut to walk in. Turns out it was Mark Chestnut. The older sound guy that was Mark Chestnut. And Eddie,
well, he had glasses on.
Yes, it was a whole thing.
He didn't have a cowboy hat on. It was weird. It didn't look like him at all.
And he had on a shirt that said, like, Blink 182 rocks or something. It was just weird. Yeah. Let's see, High Valley, River Still Running. Here's a clip. Rustin Kelly has a song called Brave. And I didn't give up to the darkness. This is my kind of jam right here. My girlfriend thinks it's weird because I listen to all sad songs all the time. It doesn't matter what mood I'm in, I need it to be sad. It just needs to be sad and slow, and the less instruments, the better. I think I like a song with no instruments and very little voice. Just a light hum. That's all I could take. But this is it for me. I like this. All right, Kelly Clarkson put out a new song called I Dare You. I dare you to love. Oh, and then finally, Angels and Airwaves, All That's Left is Love. The world is different now. All right, there you go. What are you guys doing now at the house, Eddie?
Right now we were just trying to cut everybody's hair, and it's impossible. It's a nightmare right now.
Are you cutting it, or is your wife?
Well, I started to cut, and then Mike D called me, so then I had to hand the clippers over. But basically, I'm just going to give them all the Sam Hunt cut because that's the easiest, where you just shave the sides and the back and then just left the top the way it was.
Nice. Like a bowl.
Yeah, what would you say?
It's like a bowl cut.
Well, yeah, but if you do the fake line or whatever, it kind of looks like Sam Hunt, so that's why I'm calling it that, and they're cool with that.
All right. Well, I think that's all we're going to do because I got a couple interviews I'm going to hop over to. Everything else good?
Everything's good, man. We're here. We're just staying safe.
Yeah. Eddie came over to the house and brought something over yesterday. I didn't even know why he was coming to the house. He pulls up in his Jeep. Everybody's like, why is somebody outside our house? And it was Eddie.
Well, what's funny is, like, you know, I guess now you don't really get any guests. So when someone shows up, the door was wide open. It's you. It's your girlfriend. The dog runs out.
Like, yeah, we were all like,
somebody's
what is
here.
Happening? Yeah. All right. Get back to cutting hair. Thanks for your. Oh, by the way, check out Eddie's sports show. Eddie, talk about that for a second.
Yeah, we do the Sore Losers podcast. It's me, Raymundo, and Lunchbox. And we just talk about guy stuff. Right now we're finishing off a Sore Losers coin flip madness. And since we didn't have March Madness, the basketball tournament, we were just flipping coins and we made our own bracket.
Explain that to me. Right, do you just flip a coin and that's the winner?
Yeah, so it's just like the March Madness tournament, except there aren't any games, so the game is a coin flip, 50-50.
Do you do one a show?
No. We did it just kind of like the tournament did. We did, you know, 8 the first day and then 8 the next day. And right now we're at the Final Four and the championship is Monday and it's huge.
Is Arkansas going to win it all this year? And the coin, could you give them an at large?
I hate to break it to you, but Arkansas was in the bracket.
Oh,
hey Bones, they were out the first round. Sorry, dude.
You know, we've never been good coin flips. Yeah. All right, check out the Sore Losers podcast. Eddie, appreciate it. Back to haircuts. Talk to you soon.
All right, see you guys.
Bye. Maddie, what's happening?
Sorry, I called late. I had the wrong time zone and my freaking calendar like an idiot. So.
Where are you?
I'm in Nashville, but for some reason iCal on, I think my phone, because I've been in so many time zones the past years, it just gets whacked out. And sometimes it does not calculate the correct time zone.
Well, I wouldn't have texted you, but I figure we're all in some sort of weird quarantine and something had to have gone wrong because nobody's really late anymore. We're all just kind of looking at our clocks going, well, I wonder what time I do something next.
I know, right? Hey, I had so much fun on trivia. I was really disappointed that I didn't get further, but, you know, that is such a cool thing that you came up with. I love it.
Oh, thanks a lot. How are you, by the way? Are you good?
I am good. It's been kind of crazy the past 2 weeks, crazier than I expected with the album release and everything, but I've been good. The album has been my, like, silver lining with all this craziness. How about yourself?
Yeah, good. I mean, I'm lucky where I have pretty much everything at my house that I need to work. Like, I have a radio studio. American Idol just sent me about 20 boxes to set up a TV studio. So in a weird way, like, I'm okay. But I have nothing new. You guys just put out your first record in 5 years, which is crazy that it's been that long, huh?
I know. Well, because whenever we came on your podcast, what was that, like 3 years ago? Maybe 2 years ago? I don't know. My timelines are jacked up. But we were still, like, in those beginning stages with Universal, with the new record label.
How has that all been? Because it's been there for a couple of years, but you kind of went through some changes for a minute.
Yeah, the new company, just Universal overall, we've had the best experience. And I think we got to make the album that we loved because we finally felt this new sense of creative freedom. Like, we went over there and they loved what we were writing. And I remember Stephanie Wright, our head of A&R, was like, hey, go make an album that you love. Pick the producers that you want. Pick the songs that you love and just do it. And that's not really what the first process was like. So it was really, really special. And it kind of just taught us how to trust our gut creatively and kind of to follow our own intuition. And that's kind of how the album came to be.
I'm going to play a few clips from the record. So hang tight for a second. The new album is called The Way It Feels. Here is Die from a Broken Heart. I want to kick myself for falling so hard. Mama, can you die from a broken heart? Here is a song called Everywhere I'm Going. And here's one more. This is One Heart to Another. You know, I was listening to the record the week it came out because, full disclosure, Maddie and Tay and myself, we have the same publicist.
Yeah.
And so she was more stressed about you, because this is when we didn't know what was happening with Corona, really. It was so new. They were just starting to shut stuff down. You guys had a bunch of album promotion planned. And I'll tell you, and it's always best to hear from somebody else, she was so concerned and was so stressed about you guys, like just true love and worry that she wasn't going to be able to get you guys out everywhere. So
I know. And they did a great job. Like, I think that they did the best that they could. And you know, we kind of just all huddled up as a team and we're like, look, everyone, like, we had our social media team, our publicist, our label, everyone, we kind of just all put our heads together the past, you know, 2 months, really since beginning of March. And we're just like, okay, we're going to do this and this and planned a whole bunch of stuff. So we kind of just are trying to roll with the punches as best as possible.
Did you ever think about not putting the record out? Was that ever a conversation?
Dude, there was no way in heck that we weren't putting that album out after how long we had waited. I was like, you know what? I'm sorry. I know there's this horrible pandemic going on, but you can still release music. It is sanitary to do so. And I was not backing down. And there was no one on our team that was like, hey, maybe we should push this back, because we were all feeling that same way. Like, you know what? We've had so much adversity hit to make this album. And of course, there's a global pandemic the minute that we decide to release it. But I'm so glad that we released it too, because I think it's kind of bringing some joy and some light to people's lives right now.
You guys were going to hop on the Tourist in This Town tour, and with like every other tour, it's done for now. No new dates have been announced yet. I saw today that Taylor Swift said she's doing no shows for 2020. Like, it'll be 2021 before she does anything. I just wonder where your head is at with as far as live shows and kind of what's being said about when you may be able to play again. Like, what are they saying to you guys?
We're going day by day. All we know is we are planning. Like, the plan right now is to go out with Lady A in July and then reschedule tours in this town for this fall. But I will say, like, it is stressful, like, the possibility of not getting to tour because, you know, I mean, you know, too, being on the road, it's like you employ a lot of people, and a lot of people depend on you to feed their families and to pay their bills. And so as a businesswoman, it's a really, like, sad time. You know, I want, you know, a lot of our employees depend on our touring income to pay their bills. And so that's probably been the thing that's the hardest and that's, like, the worst, like, stress on my heart right now.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to bring up, too, because I think from the surface, people look at you guys and go, well, Maddie and Tay can't get paid if they don't tour. But in reality, Maddie and Tay can't pay the people that can't do their job at all.
Exactly.
If they don't, then that's your tour manager, that's your front of house person, that's your guitar player. Like, they're sitting back waiting for you guys to kind of give them direction because they have no work right now.
Exactly. And so we're having to get creative with, like, how to take care of our people as best as possible. But, you know, if there's no money coming in, you know, it's just, it's stressful. And I know a lot of, like, self-employed businesses are feeling that same pressure. So I just feel for everyone that's, you know, just wanting to do something and, you know, just, we're just kind of stuck right now.
Well, you're married now, so have you taken officially your husband's name or no?
Yes. So, well, actually, interesting question. I finally went to the Social Security office and did that whole thing, which I'll have to tell you a hilarious story off the record about the Social Security office. I went in and I changed my last name to his, but as I was in the middle of changing my name earlier this year, this pandemic hit. And so I have a passport that says my married name, but my driver's license says my maiden name. So I feel like I have two identities. I hope that's not illegal.
I don't know if that's Mike, illegal. What do you think about that? Can you keep one and change one?
I think you have to change them both.
Because
you have to change them both, I think.
That would be the way to do it. Like, you run up a bunch of bills on one.
Yeah, because then you could be two people.
Yeah, that would be... Okay, and how's...
Oh, my gosh, guys, you're going to put me in jail.
how is it going? Like, how is being quarantined? And because it's like, you know, you're together all the time right now. So I assume you guys are getting along pretty well, huh?
Yeah, we've been together for 10 years. This May, it'll be 10 years. So we've worked out a lot of those, like, newlywed kinks long ago. So it's actually surprisingly been really, really good for our marriage. I know you're in a new relationship, but how is that? Is it kind of nice to get to sit and just be like a couple and not like having to get your schedules on track and all that? Has that been kind of different for you?
Well, it's been interesting. We were, whenever she came, and she wasn't planning to quarantine here, but she was here for a week. She lives in she lives in California, but she came here. And she was then, like, scared to go home because California was way earlier than us. And they were shutting everything down.
Right.
And I was like, hey, why don't you just stay here for a couple weeks? It's been 6 weeks now, but I think that it has really progressed our relationship because we've been together almost every minute of every day for 6 weeks, and it's been great. So,
man, I think you found your person then, because I feel like this is the test. If you're in quarantine with someone and you feel like your relationship is strengthening, like, You are ready to rock and roll. You're handling a global pandemic, the stress of that, and being together all the time, dude.
Did you and your husband live together before you got married?
Yes, and I know there's a lot of people that are like, that's so blah, blah, you know, whatever. But he moved from Texas, from our hometown, to come to Nashville, and just financially just didn't make sense for us. And everybody's different, but I will say living together before was really great for our relationship. I don't want to go like, hey, everyone do that, but
I do. I think you should live together. No, I will say on the record, I think you should live with your person before you get married, because
I'm so glad that we did, because, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, you're newlyweds, is there struggles, are you fighting? I'm like, no, because we experienced those newlywed things long before, you know, 5-6 years before we were married.
So I guess when you guys got married, it was just, I mean, it was a big event, but you already were in that phase of mentally in the relationship, huh?
Totally. Like, we've treated it like a marriage. Honestly, when we were about, I would say maybe 19 years old, that was when, you know, we were out of high school and, it, you know, Jonah was in college and I had moved, and we were like, okay, if we're going to do this, we got to be all in. And that was when we really decided. Jonah actually gave me a promise ring when we were teenagers, which isn't really a common thing, but he basically was just like, hey, basically, I'm going to put you on layaway, you know? Just kidding. That sounds awful, but it was really sweet. So,
is this the first interview that you've done in a while without Taylor? I feel like her name is Taylor when I talk about her by herself, but when she's with you guys, it's Tay. Is it the first one you've done without her in a while?
I don't think I've ever done a interview without her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool to get to, like, you know, each have our own, like, you know, we're together all the time. So sometimes it is cool to get to hear her talk about everything and then kind of get to share my side. But, you know, the Taylor Tay thing is a big thing for her because people that she, like, has a relationship with, she likes to be called Taylor because she feels like that's more of, like, the human part, and Tay is more of the, like, work. But everyone calls me Maddie, so I don't really get – no one calls me Madison because that would just be weird, and I probably wouldn't respond.
I don't think of you as Madison at all. Like, if I saw you out, I wouldn't call you Madison, but I see her, and I call her Taylor when she's by herself.
Yeah, I know, because I think Taylor is a little more, like, serious, and I feel like she's a little more serious of a person, and I am so opposite. Like, Madison is – no, that's very serious, and I am not a serious person. Human.
As an artist with all this time at home, are you finding that you have any other skills or any other things that time has allowed you to pursue a little bit?
I have been practicing my Espanol. I actually was fluent as a child growing up in Texas, like South Texas. And so I've been practicing that. I've actually gotten decent at cooking. My husband's way better, but I made this shrimp scampi the other night and it was like restaurant quality. Even my husband said so. I don't know. What other skills? I would say I've been playing a lot more guitar. I feel like I'm getting a little bit better at, like, a little more confident with my guitar playing because I got a little lazy there on the road.
What's happening with watching shows? Anything good?
Okay, I don't know if you would like what we watched. Hey, what was that documentary called where they buried all the drugs and dug them up? Oh, Legends of Cocaine. This is terrible. But it's on Netflix, and basically there's like this wives' tale that some dude dug a bunch of cocaine into the ground and like told this story around a campfire, and this dude went to try to go dig it up in Puerto Rico. It's like this super wacky story. It's Tiger King-esque in the way that it's so wacky, but I really enjoyed that.
Did you watch Tiger King?
Fires Everywhere with Reese Witherspoon is awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's on who? That's on, say the name of that show again. What is it, Little Fires Everywhere?
Yeah, I just finished the book yesterday, and then now I'm watching the show, and oh my gosh, it's so good.
Are you finding a little bit, because this is what I'm struggling with, is that you have so much free time that you're getting nothing done.
I'm a to-do list girl. I really like, even if it's as simple as like doing the chores or if it's like finishing a demo, which has been interesting trying to figure out how to do a demo by myself. That's a whole other thing. But I've been trying to get like maybe one or two things done. But like the past 2 weeks have been so crazy with album release that I've been giving my weekends, like actually having a weekend. I bet it's weird for you too to actually have a Saturday and a Sunday, because our Saturdays and Sundays are like Monday, Tuesday or something.
Yeah, it's weird for me. Well, the weirdness for me is that I'm not traveling at all because I was on the road constantly.
Right.
But I do, I actually leave my house for work one day a week because I go to the Grand Ole Opry and I host and produce the Opry TV show. You know, I don't touch anybody, but it's just a different normal is what it is. But there will be time where if I don't make a schedule out, I make a schedule almost every day. And from when I wake up, from when I exercise, because that keeps me, like you said, you're a to-do list person. I need my stuff timed so I feel like my day is moving. Because if I don't, I'll have so much free time and I'll just decide to do nothing.
I know. I have been battling that a little bit. And then at the end of the day, I just feel like crap because I didn't do anything. So even if it's like trying to get a workout in or organizing something or, you know, knocking out a bunch of emails, or not that there's a lot of emails coming in because there's not much going on, but, you know.
I'm going to ask a few questions about your favorite stuff, and then I want to get back to the record for a second. But pretty tough questions here because they are all-time lifetime favorites. So what is your who is your favorite artist of all time? Artist of any kind, any format.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Okay. Honestly, I think overall, with I know the most songs by this artist and tried to sing like her my whole life, so I would say Leanne Womack. I think she really shaped how I attempt to sing songs.
Have you met Leanne?
Yes, and she sang at our album release party for the first album, and I nearly fainted. Like, and she's so sweet.
Yeah, she's really nice.
And, like, so down to earth, and I was just so starstruck. I think she was not expecting me to be that starstruck.
All right, let's go with your favorite album. It doesn't have to be a Leanne Womack record, but do you have a favorite album that you go, that's the one for my lifetime?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry to be stuck on Leanne, but the Call Me Crazy album by Leanne Womack is my... Well, okay. Oh, dang, that's so hard. Okay, I'm going to go with that one. Call Me Crazy, Leanne Womack.
All right, let me switch it up. Non-country favorite artist.
Right now?
Period, lifetime. If you get one, who is it?
Otis Redding.
Oh, really?
Yes, Otis Redding.
Look
at
you. That's interesting. You know, I'm a Otis Redding fan, too. I like... You know, I think sometimes people hear Otis Redding and they'll hear like Hard to Handle, which the Black Crowes did, and go, he did that before the Black Crowes made it a rock hit? I mean, and he has so many songs that he sang in like concert way back in the day that other artists ended up covering too that you would really only know from them. But I'm a big Otis Redding guy too. Let's see. How about your favorite record, non-country?
Non-country. Oh, dang, that's so hard. Non-country. Good God, this is difficult. I'm going to go with, I'm just going to go with something that I love right now. The Harry Styles Fine Line record.
It's good. It's I know.
Solid.
It's really good. Yep. And I...
So good.
I have to say this because I'm an adult man. I am not a big Harry Styles guy. However, I'm a huge Harry Styles guy now.
Dude, okay, So the first record that he released, I loved, and I was supposed to go with one of my girlfriends to the Ryman to go see him, and she had to back out because she got another tour. And so I was like, Jonah, you got to come to this concert. He's like, oh, no, I'm not going to go see freaking Harry Styles and these little girls screaming all this. And I was like, no, you have to, like, I can't go by myself. So we end up going, and Jonah is a diehard Harry Styles fan now. And he said the same thing you did. He was like, I was not a Harry Styles guy, and now... Especially by record two, he is totally in. And he's such a rock star. Like, if you've seen him live, it is insane.
He just made timeless music on his newest record.
Exactly, exactly. It does not fear, like, it just embodies a whole entire millennium, I feel like.
Yeah, it's good. Man, I'm with you on that. Our favorite, if you get one meal, favorite meal, you're celebrating your favorite meal is what?
I'm going to say hibachi, which is a little ratchet, but my favorite.
Is there a hibachi place that you go to in town if it's like your birthday or you're celebrating something?
Yes, but it's nasty. It's called Ninki. I don't mean to bash them, but it's like raunchy. Like it's like fattening. It's not like Benihana where it's like, you know, I guess that's not very fancy either, but.
Hey, listen, when I was a kid, we couldn't afford that. We'd go to Benihana like once a year if church youth group had saved up enough money to send us.
I know. We got to go to Benihana's once a year with my family, and it was only for a birthday. That was the occasion.
Well. I want to make a couple observations about the record because I've spent some time. Because I think you guys are great. I love your guys' sound.
Thank you.
I'm fans, obviously. I'm a fan, obviously. I think because I do a lot of pitch meetings for TV shows because I've been creating some TV shows and being on some shows. And they always ask, what is the show like? And for a long time, mm-hmm. I thought, man, what, I don't want to compare it to anything else. But I think comparing it to something that is great now after doing this for a while is very complimentary. And I was listening to you guys. And if someone asked me the question, what is it like? This is what I would say. I would say it's like a little more emotional, slightly more vocal powered the Wreckers.
Yes.
That's what I would say.
Wow, I love that.
That's what I would say. I would say if you like the record, the Wreckers, you're going to love this. It's a little newer, meaning the texture, the production, but, and there's a, I think the vocals are a little more pure, But I think there's a lot of the Wreckers there. And I don't know if that is a compliment to you or not, but to me,
God,
that's a compliment.
I loved the Wreckers. And I was so bummed out whenever they stopped making music because I loved the blend of their voices. And I loved how their audio engineer always, he like rode the harmony with the lead vocals really high to where it almost sounded like two lead vocals, just different notes. And that's kind of what we went for with this record. Like, I think if you go back to the first record, you'll see, like, Tay's vocal isn't as loud as it is on this. And I feel like we really sound like a harmony band. Like, we really, you know, because we weren't rushed and we weren't, you know, 18 years old and had no idea what we were doing this time. You know, we were kind of seasoned, you know, in the business after 6 years. And we're like, this is how we want it to sound. That's a huge compliment. I'm so glad.
Well, I didn't read that in the note that you got. Did you ever say that anywhere that there was you love the Wreckers last album or anything? Because that definitely wasn't derivative of anything I read.
No, I've never, like, I mean, I used to play Leave the Pieces all the freaking time, and I just loved that whole entire album was so solid.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think anyone has.
And I'm proud.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm proud of my analogy then. Yes. And then Maddie says, well, the third engineer who was working in section C of the building that day had a microphone that was a DB XX. And I'm like, how did you even know this?
Yeah. So,
well, listen, I hope everybody checks it out. I'm proud that you guys have new music. I love that you went ahead and put it out anyway, because again, if you don't put it out now, who knows how long they're going to hold you. And
right.
So,
right.
Well, you know, I'm a huge fan of you guys, huge fan of you. I think you're so funny, and I appreciate you spending time, and congratulations on life and music and everything.
Hey, back at you. I'm so happy for you, and I'm just, you know, excited to see your face everywhere and always rooting for you, and we're just grateful that you've always been so kind to us and supportive. And thanks for listening to the new album, because I value your opinion. I like your musical, like, descriptions. I'm intrigued by the way that you describe music and stuff. So I love that you dug into all the songs and the record.
Well, that's very nice. Okay, you go back to living your life in quarantine and fix your phone on the time zone. Other than that, we're square here. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, bye, Maddie.
Well.
We're about to talk to Jen Wayne from Runaway June, who has Corona. Here is a clip of Runaway June's biggest song, Buy My Own Drinks. And I saw online that she has coronavirus. I texted her, and she's on now. How are you feeling?
Oh, I feel fine now. Thank God.
So when did you start to think that you were sick?
So I, March 31st, which was my mom's birthday, the day before my birthday, I woke up and I had kind of like a little dry cough. It wasn't bad at all, so I really didn't think anything of it, but I had really bad body aches. And so I thought, oh, maybe I just went on, you know, pushed it too hard on my run, and it was really windy the day before. I just kind of shrugged it off. Well, the next day, the body aches were just severe. Like, I was just crippled. It felt like someone was literally crushing my back together. And so that's when I was like, okay, this isn't normal. But I never had a fever. My cough didn't get worse. It was just kind of just minimal. And so, of course, I'm like looking up every kind of coronavirus symptom, blah, blah, blah. And I'd only been to the grocery store. So I just couldn't imagine.
Oh, no.
That I would have gotten it. You know, I've been secluded at home.
You got it at the grocery store, you think?
Well, it's the only place I've been other than CVS. And, they were only allowing 20 people in at a time at the grocery store, and so there was like a line outside that you had to wait to get in, and there was a girl in front of me coughing.
Oh.
And I remember just thinking like, oh, this is how I'm going to get coronavirus. And then I obviously just a joke in my mind, and then 4 days later was when I got the symptoms. And I've been with my mom the entire time I've been here, and that was the only time my mom didn't go with me to the store. So, and it was really windy that day, so I'm just, it's the only thing I can think of that the girl's coughing, and wow, the wind was blowing right at me, and I was standing behind her.
Are you West Coast now?
Yeah, I'm in Malibu with my parents. I've been here the whole time,
Have they been able to?
Thank God, both of them didn't get it. They both got tested, and it's been, you know, 3 weeks now, so we're in the clear. But it's just so scary. I was just freaked out about my parents getting it.
Did they take care of you and still not get it, or did they just go, uh-oh, you go to that room, we'll leave stuff at the door?
Well, I didn't even know I had it because I didn't have a fever, and I didn't have, you know, the traditional symptoms. But by the third day, it lasted 5 days, really, of me being sick, and by the third day of, like, my body aches not going away, that's when I was like, okay, something is really wrong with me, and I was so fatigued. I couldn't get out of bed. Like, I couldn't go get something in the kitchen without feeling exhausted and having to sleep when I got back to the room. So that's when I just started self-isolating just to be safe, because I talked to my doctor and they said, well, right now, you know, the tests are limited, so if you don't have a fever or shortness of breath, just act as if you have it. So I just stayed in the back room, and my parents were like, oh, come on, you don't have it. You know, they wanted me to come to the dinner table for dinner. I'm like, you guys, no, something is really wrong with me. And so I just stayed back there, and then I was just reading on all the websites that said wait 72 hours from your last symptom before you, you know, stop self-isolating. So I just stayed in my room that whole time, and then I felt better, and I thought, okay, well, I just had some crazy whatever, flu or whatever I had, and then I lost my sense of smell, and that's when I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
That is what made me think, okay, I freaking had this thing. And so I waited in line. I drove. There was one place in L.A. doing the antibody test, and I drove down there. It's like an hour and a half from my parents, and they turned me away because there were too many cars. And so I went back the next day because I just had this weird feeling. Like, I know I had it. I lost my sense of smell. I never had a fever, but all the other symptoms were coronavirus symptoms. So I waited in line for 4 hours to get the antibody test, and sure enough, it came back positive. And I was just really in shock.
Wow.
And then, of course, really worried about my parents and, you know, going through the timeline of, oh, my God, am I still contagious? Or they need to get tested, and I was just, it was a emotional thing.
Wow. When you saw the test results, it said you have corona, and obviously you're feeling better, but you still see it on paper. I mean, is that like, wow, I can't believe that I have the thing I've been seeing on TV that everybody's been sick on?
Yes. I mean, I knew I had a feeling that I had it, but it was still a shock to see it. And then, you know, it's this weird feeling of feeling like, kind of like a leper. Like, I'm like, okay, I have to tell
right.
my parents, but I don't want to tell anyone else. Can I walk in the neighborhood? Can I do this? I mean, it's this weird feeling of, oh, now you're that girl with the virus or the disease. So that, I think, the emotional part of just the stigma of it, I think, was really difficult for me. And then I went back and self-isolated even longer. They said, wait 7 days before you... 7 days with no symptoms before you really can start going back out again. So I just was wanting to be safe rather than sorry, you know?
Holy crap. I did see on your Instagram, you said that, I've been struggling with whether or not to share. And then you had a sign of three things you're grateful for. The first one said your parents not getting the virus, which is crazy they didn't get it, especially because you didn't know you had it. That's crazy.
I know.
The second says, my body, which I have so harshly judged in the past, fought it off and kept me healthy. Talk about that for a second.
Well, that was just kind of a moment of real gratitude for, you know, me being healthy and my body, which, of course, I'm, like, worried about it all the time and being on stage. If you feel like you're overweight or, I don't know, just I pick apart my body every single day of my life. So it was just this moment of, wow, my body is what got me through this thing, and I didn't have a severe case like so many other people. So it just kind of was it brought me in check, you know, really be thankful that I'm healthy and that I don't have to worry about things that some people that aren't healthy worry about. You know, my body is I'm able to walk and fight off the coronavirus. So I just felt grateful.
Dang. That's crazy. And right now, do you feel all the way back to normal?
Yeah, it's been about a week of feeling all the way back to normal. I felt fine, but I just wasn't 100%. I just felt tired. And I did have like a pressure on my chest when I didn't have a difficulty breathing, but I could just still feel it. So I just took it easy. And when I thought that something was wrong, and of course I'm looking up coronavirus symptoms and everything, I told a few people, family and doctors, and they said, load up on vitamin C, vitamin D3, chaga mushrooms, and zinc. And so that's why I wanted to share, because I, of all the websites I was looking up, all it had was information on what to do if you have it as far as isolating. But it really didn't say anything, you know, what to do to take care of yourself, other than if you're feeling if you're feeling struggling of breathing, then go to the hospital. So I don't know if that's what got me better. I just felt like that was something I needed to share, because it's different for everyone. There's no proof of what works and what doesn't, but that seemed to help me. So I just thought if I could help one person, and also just your immunity, those vitamins are good in general, even if you don't have it, you know, to just stay strong and keep your immunity built.
When you did the test, was it blood or they stick the thing in your nose?
I did the blood, so I went and waited to do that antibody test.
Yeah.
And it said, it came back positive, and it said that I was in the process of creating them. I guess there's two antibodies that you need. One's IgM and one's IgG. And I had the IgM, which means my body was still in the process of fighting it off. So I technically still had the virus, even though I didn't have symptoms anymore. So then they recommended that I do the swab for the, you know, CDC to count it. So I did that too, and that came back positive, of course, because I had it. So I am now waiting to do my second antibody test so that I can donate blood and plasma, because that's definitely something I really want to do.
When do you find out if you're all clear?
Tuesday.
Are you nervous about that or no?
No, because I know I'm fine. If the virus is still in me, it just means I have to wait longer. But I know it's been over 2 weeks of no symptoms, so I'm on the mend. I've been hearing stories about, like, there's a firefighter in Torrance right now struggling with his life, and they're begging for plasma. And I'm like, I'm here, I'm ready. I called the fire department, I emailed them, I've, you know, sent my stuff to Red Cross. So I want it to be over with so I can help people.
Dang. Well, I'm glad you're healthy. As soon as I heard, I texted you. I was like, holy crap, how are you feeling? Because I assumed you were feeling better if you announced it.
Yeah. And I wanted to wait and make sure that both my parents didn't have it, and that we waited the amount of time where, you know, it was most likely that I was not contagious. I was laughing, though, Bobby, because I really did think about you. I'm like, well, Bobby's just been washing his hands like crazy and wearing masks before anyone else was. So
yeah.
You're on top of the curve here.
Well, I was trying. I was judged pretty harshly. When I'm the guy with the mask on the airplane pre-corona, people were like, what's up with that weirdo? Now I'm just one of the guys. Well, I'm glad you're laughing, and I'm glad that you're feeling a bit better. I hope your test comes back, that you're able to donate, and it's a selfless way to think. And I also thought your Instagram message of the things you were thankful for was a really nice thing to see. So glad you're healthy,
thanks,
Jen.
Bobby.
That's
Thank
what it is.
Thank you so much.
Well,
thank you. Well, you guys stay healthy and safe out there, too, and I can be everyone's safe grocery shopper now.
Yeah, you're invincible now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I've got the golden ticket now.
Well, talk to you soon, and hopefully I'll see you relatively soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye, Jen.